Let us read responsively the Old Testament reading, Psalm chapter 104, verses 24 through 35. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you form to sport in it. These are all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. And Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds this day through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear anew what you have to say to us. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two scripture readings this morning. First, Acts chapter 2, and then John 14. Please stand in honor of God's word. And I'm going to be reading Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" And reading from John's Gospel, John 14, verses 15 through 17. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is the story about three prospectors who found a rich vein of gold in California during the gold rush days. They realized what a great discovery they had and decided, "We've got this really good thing going here as long as no one else finds out." So they each took a vow to keep it secret. Then they headed for town to file their claims and get the equipment necessary to mine the gold. True to their vows, they didn't say a word about it to anyone. They filed their claim, bought the equipment, and headed back to their mine. But when they did, a crowd of people followed them. And the reason was because the expression on their faces had given them away. Their faces were aglow in anticipation of the wealth that would soon be theirs. People knew that they must have found something very special, so a crowd followed them out of town. There are some things you just can't hide. On that Pentecost day, when the disciples were gathered together in anticipation of the power of the Holy Spirit that they would receive, as Jesus had promised them, incredible power came upon those disciples. It was so evident, and it just could not be hidden. It was the promise of Jesus. The disciples would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 tells us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Prior to his ascension, Jesus tells the disciples that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And the disciples pray and they wait until the most powerful day of Pentecost. They're all gathered together in one place. And the violent wind from heaven comes. Tongues of fire rest on each of them. And they're filled to overflowing. And they begin to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enables them to do so. Today, we celebrate that wonderful day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon those early disciples, and they went out into the world with a boldness to tell people about Jesus. We celebrate how the Holy Spirit continues to be poured out upon believers today. We celebrate with great joy and feasting, not just because we like to eat, but because of the tremendous significance of this day. Just as the early disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit, so you and I are empowered as well. Through faith in Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we are given the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. As soon as we say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life," His Holy Spirit is put right inside of us. And we are equipped. We are equipped to be Jesus' witnesses. Now, honestly, how many of you feel equipped to be Jesus' witnesses right now, today? Let's see, a show of hands. You're all ready to go out into the world and talk about Jesus. Oh, you're true Presbyterians. You know, it's kind of sad, but that's kind of where we are, isn't it? After World War II, a group of German students volunteered to rebuild a cathedral that had been severely damaged by German bombs. And as work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue of Jesus with outstretched arms, beneath which was written the inscription, "Come unto me." They had particular difficulty trying to restore the hands, which had been completely destroyed. After much discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing and change the inscription instead. When they were finished, it read, "Christ has no hands but ours." Have you ever thought about the fact that God wants to use you as His instrument to show Jesus to others? We are equipped with the Holy Spirit to go out and to be witnesses. We're equipped with the Holy Spirit to be able to communicate with ease. I think that is one of the greatest fears of Presbyterians and a lot of other Christians, is we have a hard time communicating with ease about Jesus. We can't do it in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. Chuck Swindoll has said that there are two things that are essential for you to enjoy any car that you buy. The first is a set of keys. The key lets you into the car. It'll help you open the trunk or the glove box or whenever necessary to lift the hood on the car. It's what you need to crank up the engine. You can admire the car from the outside or even sit quietly inside it, but you're not going anywhere without the keys. Even with keyless ignitions today, you still need the key on you in order to get that keyless ignition to work. What keys are to the car, he goes on to say, conversion is to the Christian life. You don't enter the Christian life because you're born into a Christian family or because you attend a church where the Bible is taught or even because you learn verses from a book called the Bible. You enter the Christian life through only one way, and that key is Jesus Christ. John wrote it this way, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." You either have the key that gets you into the car or you don't. You either have life in Christ or you don't. There's no in-between ground to stand on. And then he goes on to say the second essential you need for your car is fuel. Don't try to save money by filling up your tank with water from your garden hose and hope your car will run. The engine was designed to run on fuel. What the fuel is to the car, the Spirit of God is to the authentic, normal Christian life. Colossians 2:6 explains it like this: as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received Christ, that's the key that gets you inside. So walk in him. That's the fuel, the Spirit of God engaging your life in an authentic manner. Jesus said he would send the Spirit of God, and by sending him, he would provide the power to live. He would provide the power to live as his witnesses. We get our words, power, and dynamic and dynamite from the Greek dunamis. It's a word that refers to divine enablement. Enabling. Enabling. Well, say it, Beth. Enablement. Because I have the Spirit, he says, I have within me sufficient enablement to handle my flesh. I can't handle it on my own. All the time I was without Christ, I couldn't. But once I came to Christ, I received the key to the car. I also received the fuel for the tank, which enabled me to engage the gears. When the Spirit of God takes over, his power overcomes the fleshly forces within me, the drive to react, the drive to strike back, the drive to get even, the drive to throw a temper tantrum, the drive to have my own way, and on the list goes. The work of the Spirit is to give us the words and the courage to speak on Christ's behalf. We're also equipped to pray better and more effectively when we have the Holy Spirit living within us, even at times when we don't know what to pray or how to pray. There are times when things can happen that we just don't even know what to say, how to pray. And the Holy Spirit partners with us, and he speaks for us. When we come to him and say, Holy Spirit, I don't even know what to say. Fill me, show me, tell me how to pray. Romans 8:26 tells us, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Lloyd Ogilvie tells the story of one Sunday morning. He said, I got up at 5 to go down to my study in the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood to finish memorizing my sermon. And he said, as I drove to the church, I prayed, Holy Spirit, I need a fresh anointing of your power. Breathe life into the words that I've prepared. Give me a deeper sense of what it means to be interruptible and ready to serve. He said, I didn't expect this prayer to be answered before I reached my study. On the way, I stopped at a 7-Eleven convenience store that's open all night. As I got out of my car, I was approached by not one, but 6 beggars who were lurking in the shadows near the entrance of the store, waiting to ask for a handout from customers. Usually, they take turns rotating who would get the next prospect. Instead, they all descended on me at once, each trying to jostle ahead of each other, raising his voice above the rest while shouting out a carefully rehearsed appeal. One pled for money for a cup of coffee. I thought of the full breakfast I had just eaten. Another claimed that his car was out of gas and he couldn't get home. I looked at my fine automobile filled with gas. Still another, who looked more sophisticated than the rest, complained that he had just lost his job and had taken to the streets. I thought of the privilege of working at a fine job that day. And so it went until the chorus of human misery was finished. I reached in my pocket and felt the dollar bills I had scooped off my dresser earlier before leaving home. Not counting how many there were, with my fingers in my pocket, I counted them, 6 bills. No change. What to do? Even as you have done it into the least of these, I hear you, Lord. I pulled out all $6 and gave 1 to each man. They all faded back into the shadows. No need to go into the store. I had no more money. As I turned to get back into my car, one of the men called out from the shadows, Thank you, Dr. Ogilvie. He knew who I was. What if I had denied this opportunity to serve? After all, I needed to get to church to get ready to preach on servanthood. The Holy Spirit had answered my prayer in a way I had not expected. I thanked him that I paid no attention to the conversation I had with the man who shouted from the shadows. I was a well-dressed beggar on the way to his study, talking to another beggar about where to find bread, real bread. There's a sequel, he says, to the account that I shared. Years later, when I was the chaplain of the United States Senate, Ted Stevens, a senator from Alaska, asked me to speak at a prayer breakfast in Anchorage. On the morning I was to speak, I took the elevator down to the lobby on my way to the room where the prayer breakfast was to be held. When the elevator door opened, I was met by a distinguished-looking, well-dressed man. Good morning, Dr. Ogilvie. He said, remember me? You gave me a dollar for a cup of coffee early one Sunday morning. I was on the street because I'd lost my marriage and was in trouble. That morning, I was so impressed that you gave me and my fellow beggars money for coffee that later that morning, I decided to go worship in your church. After your sermon, I was compelled to respond, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I got off the street. I committed my life to Christ that day. I'm a radio announcer on a local station. A new life has begun. Thanks for that cup of coffee. And the account, he said, doesn't end there. A while ago, I received an email from this man telling me that he has continued to grow in his faith and a life filled with joy. In fact, he told me of his new marriage that he believes is a gift of grace. He says there are people all around of us who are not homeless, but who need to be at home with a father. Those who have 3 square meals a day and yet are spiritually hungry. who know a lot about many things and yet do not really know about the Savior, who wield great personal power but desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives us and equips us as we come to Him in power of prayer. We are also equipped by the Holy Spirit to travel to great places. How far? Like an ever-widening circle. Maybe as a child you remember throwing a stone out into a lake or a body of water, and you would see the ripple, and you would see how it would expand and expand. And that's the picture of the gospel spreading. At the center is the love of Jesus. And as we share his message, the body of Christ, his message becomes larger and larger and larger. We start in Jerusalem, which would be our plain city, our homes. Sometimes the hardest place is in our immediate surroundings to share the gospel with the people in our immediate family and in our immediate neighborhoods. But then we go further out. Judea would be the United States. And in a few weeks, we have Jim and Doug going to West Virginia on a mission trip. They're taking it out beyond Plain City, out into the United States, the good news of the gospel. And then Samaria might be Canada and Mexico, and the ends of the earth, of course, throughout the whole world. We are equipped through the power of the Holy Spirit to send his message just over and over again beyond Plain City. The ripple just continues to go out as we reach out in his name. And fourthly, we are equipped to stand strong. Because Jesus loves us so much and that he died for our sins and he raises us to new life here and now. And then when we enter eternal life, when we take our last breath, he wants us so much to have him with us, have him dwell in us here and now. He doesn't want us to be alone. And he wants to give us the strength to stand strong. And we are living in unbelievable times. I mean, the more you hear the news, the more frightening it can get. And we as Christians are called to stand strong in the times in which we are living. And we can only do that when we have the Holy Spirit living in us. He equips us to stand strong because it gets tough at times. The critics are out there. If you believe in Jesus, if you mention Jesus, the critics are ready to attack. And on that first Pentecost, the critics were there as well. Remember, what did they say of those? They must be drunk. And maybe people think there's something wrong with us at times when we say we stand on Jesus. We stand strong in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is a fine example of being equipped with the Spirit when the going gets tough. Romans 8 tells us, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He gives us and equips us with his Holy Spirit to stand strong amidst persecution, amidst suffering, amidst the craziness of the world that we are living in. Leonard Sweet has authored a book entitled, "Jesus Drives Me Crazy." The main acronym throughout the book is "Never Underestimate the Spirit." Jesus never called us to be normal. He called us to be nuts. Christians should be different from the normal world because we should never underestimate the Spirit. This morning, I encourage all of us to be nuts. Never underestimate the Spirit in our lives, for we are equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit, as those first disciples were on that first Pentecost. We are equipped to communicate Jesus with others with ease. We are equipped to pray effectively. We are equipped to travel to great places, and we are equipped to stand so very strong in the world in which we live. Are you nuts? Never underestimate the Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for your wonderful presence in our lives every single day. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us, Lord, and help us never to underestimate the power of your Spirit. It is as powerful today as it was on Pentecost. Help us, Lord, to remember that. Help us to call upon your Holy Spirit in our lives that we might be empowered to go out into the world. Help us, Lord, to remember that we can come to you and ask your Holy Spirit to fill us anew, that we might be able to communicate with ease to others about Jesus. Help us to remember that when we don't even know how to pray, your Holy Spirit partners with us and shows us how to pray and what to pray. And help us, Lord, to remember that we can travel to great places as there is such a ripple effect when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it spreads out to the whole world. And Lord, in the times in which we are living, we need your Holy Spirit to stand strong. To stand strong and to tell people about Jesus, even when it's contrary to what every news media wants to tell us. Lord, help us to stand strong. We thank you for your love that you give to us in Jesus. And we thank you that you loved us so much that you wanted to dwell in us. And that's exactly what you do with your Holy Spirit. So empower us today. Fill us anew. Set us on fire that we might go out as your equipped witnesses into the world. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.